I'd started to give up on the Rook Gallery, which looked such a promising neighbour in my building in Johannesburg. The complex used to be offices of Premier Milling, whose abandoned grain silos still tower over Newtown. The Rook Gallery is shoehorned into the ground floor, its clean white walls an invitation to contemporary art, rather like White Cube nestling amid the warehouses and urban chic of London's Hoxton. But every day I would pass the gallery on my way out and be confronted by locked door, blinds down, and sign saying, "Closed for rehang." I feared another artistic experiment had bitten the dust. In fact, the owner, Gavin Rook, had been preparing new exhibitions and events, while also working at his full-time day job. The photographs of Roger Ballen and paintings of Mark Cannemeyer are now on show. Last weekend, the Rook also hosted an event with Greg Marinovich and Jao Silva, veteran war photographers and co-authors of the semi-autobiographical book The Bang Bang Club. When the legend becomes fact, print the legend. I've heard people assert that South Africa made a peaceful transition from apartheid to democracy that was nothing short of miraculous. Then others have told me this is a glib rewriting of history. They describe the township violence and necklacing of the early 90s, partly aided and abetted by the apartheid regime, as nothing short of a low-level civil war. I've been given estimates of the death toll ranging from 15,000 to as many as 100,000. Marinovich and Silva were among the photographers risking their lives to chronicle the inconvenient chapter that rainbowism would rather forget. They would scan the news and set out early each morning to look for the aftermath of violence that had gripped the townships the previous night. Sometimes, Silva recalled, they would be confronted with scenes of mass murder, corpses lying in the street for hours and being tossed into the back of police trailers. At other times, he said, they would run into trouble themselves. On the 18th of April, 1994, both Marinovich and his fellow photographer, Ken Oosterbroek, were shot. Marinovich was badly wounded. His friend Oosterbroek was killed. Another member of the group was Kevin Carter, who won a Pulitzer Prize for a photo of a starving Sudanese girl who collapsed on her way to a feeding centre as a vulture looked on. He was condemned for not helping the girl by critics who had no idea of the wider context. He committed suicide in July 1994 for reasons that Silva describes as complex. His voice echoing in the gallery as he addressed the gathered visitors, Silva stood before a photo he took of a mob beating a woman with sticks, while a passerby grinned at the camera. He did not know why they set upon the victim. "It's one of those things you never get an answer for," he said. "The picture remains an enigma. It gives the what, but not the why." Marinovich showed a beautiful black-and-white image he took inside a Soweto hostel before a police raid in 1992. He found there a Zulu man wearing a dress and behaving like a woman. He has never been able to work out why. 17 years, I've been asking everyone I can, what does it mean? He expressed frustration that, even as a journalist covering those events firsthand, it was impossible to entirely understand them. Even the name, the Bang Bang Club, was a retrospective fiction. Marinovich, Silva and co. were dubbed the Bang Bang Paparazzi by a local magazine headline, later modified to Club. Silva said, "The Bang Bang Club never even existed. This was the title that was given to us, and it stuck and it's sexy, and now it's subsequently become reality. We were just a group of friends who had the same commitment to covering what was happening in our country." Both men seem keenly aware of the elusiveness of absolute truth, even in the ostensibly literal medium of photography. Perhaps that is why they are so nervous about the forthcoming film adaptation of their book. Marinovich, who is played by Hollywood actor Ryan Phillippe, told us candidly, "The more I think about it, I kind of wish there was no movie. I really wish it would just disappear. We were very naive. Writing and researching the book took us a long time, and we really challenged ourselves to get to the truths, our truths more especially. Other people's truths are actually easier to get to, but digging into what you have put up as your version of reality, then digging into it more and more and challenging yourself about your perception of what really happened, was quite something. Then the movie rights got sold. It's cool, it's nice money, move on, they're going to make a movie. and we thought it would be kind of a version of the book. It will be a version of the book, obviously, but it doesn't grasp any of the essential truths. Maybe it's impossible, but I just want to let go, quite honestly, and not be associated with it. Both men acted as consultants on the film, returning to the townships and the scene of Oosterbrook's death. Silver found it difficult and strange to see an alternate reality being created. One of his biggest worries is over the portrayal of Carter. Leaning against a rail on the gallery's outside terrace and dragging on a cigarette, Silver said that Carter is always the one that students want to know about. He fears that his story, winning a Pulitzer then killing himself, will tempt the filmmakers to romanticize him as a Jim Morrison of photography. When Silver left the set, his parting words were simply, "Please be kind to Kevin's memory." He then headed to Afghanistan on assignment, but found it impossible to leave the Bang Bang Club behind. "I spent the next 2 weeks physically in Afghanistan," he said, "but my mind was in South Africa. My mind was in the past."